Welcome to Steadfast Hope. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We've got a give me five, keep me alive. Okay. We're having a little brotherly kindness here and demonstration of Christian love. We have a great study for you. We're in 2 Peter 1, verse 9. We're going to talk about it for 5 minutes, and then Kent and I will interact for 5 minutes. And the title of this is Blind and Short-Sighted. Okay, so let me read the verse, and then we're going to talk about it. He says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." You know, Ken, as I read this verse, it's a challenge for me to know, is Peter talking about a believer who just lacks these qualities, or is he talking about an unbeliever who's been faking it but doesn't really have it?
Wow.
And so we need to talk this out in the short time that we have. He says, "For he who lacks these qualities." Now, these qualities are very clear. They're in verses 5 through 7. Let me remind us of what those are: moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So, these are the marks of a genuine Christian. And so when he says, he who lacks these qualities, meaning there's no evidence of spiritual fruit, there's no evidence of these virtues or any increase in these virtues, what do you think that person is? Well, I come to the conclusion that that is a professing believer, but not a possessing believer. In other words, someone who's religious but lost, a church-going person who doesn't really know the Lord because there's no evidence of that in his life. And he says two things about him, or really three things. Number one, he's blind. That means not physically blind, but spiritually blind. He's unable to see his own spiritual condition. He's unable to see his need for true conversion. He's unable to see his need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He just lives in a world of spiritual darkness. And then he adds, short-sighted, and that's another metaphor for spiritual blindness. He can't see the hand in front of his eyes. And then on top of that, he says, having forgotten. He has spiritual amnesia. Now, he says his purification from his former sins. Now, there's two ways to take that. One is that this purification is a genuine conversion in which his sins have been washed away, or it's a false conversion where he's just gone through the motions of an external reformation, but he's never had regeneration. And Kent, an interesting verse in the next chapter in 2 Peter 2 is in verse 22, 2 Peter 2, 22. He says that this person is like a dog who returns to his own vomit, and like a sow, which is a pig, after washing, returns to wallow in the mire. That's not talking about a sheep. That's talking about a dog or a pig who is someone who's just gone through the outward motions of changing the outside of their life, but the inside of their life has never been changed. Their heart has never been changed. And I admit that this is a prickly little verse to know how to interpret, but I think in the larger context of 2 Peter, as he's talking about those who have heard the message of the gospel and have responded with just an outward change of behavior and activity, but that they have never really had a true change of heart, they remain blind and short-sighted and have forgotten, really, with spiritual amnesia, really what should have happened at the point of conversion. So that's one possibility. The other is, this is referring to a Christian who has really lapsed back into a life of carnality and worldliness and has really lost sight completely of what took place in his life. And you and I were talking earlier about left his first love. That's also a possibility for this. So I think no matter who we are, this kind of is convicting and challenging.
It fits.
It's a one-size-fits-all kind of verse. So Kent, help us think about this and work this into our life.
Well, Steve, as I think about this, I think about we all have loved ones that we're concerned may not be saved.
Yeah.
You do, I do. And it's almost like we think about them every day. We pray for them every day.
Yeah.
And they could be loved ones that have gone to church their whole life. And and should we not use these verses here in the first part of 1 Peter to try to find out and match up and kind of the grid that we take them through to see, are they really saved?
Yeah.
I mean, we can do that, right?
Yeah, Kent. I mean, I you and I both kind of struggled to know how to implement this. And again, whether this is a believer or an unbeliever, and it's like only the Lord knows where someone truly is. You and I might have said Peter was lost and Judas was saved. I mean, just looking at the outward evidence. It's kind of hard to know how to size someone up.
That's good.
But the fact of the matter is, if they have forgotten their purification, if they're a true believer and you have really forgotten your conversion and what took place when God came into your life, then you really have become short-sighted. And you're not reading your Bible correctly, and you're not reading yourself correctly, and you're really not reading what the Christian life is all about. I mean, you're just living in a world of spiritual delusion without Kent. I've got contacts on. You've got glasses on. I don't see very well without my contacts. And so that kind of a Christian really is just missing it completely. And they fail to have discernment. They fail to see sound doctrine as they should. The other side of the coin is that family member really doesn't know the Lord.
Yeah.
And they actually are blind. They're not just short-sighted. They're actually blind. And maybe there's a distinction being made here between blind and short-sighted. Maybe short-sighted, you have some sight, but blind, you have no sight. And actually, that family member or friend actually needs the gospel, actually needs the Lord. They're a mission field to us.
Yeah.
And it should direct us in knowing really how to talk to them and approach them.
Then, Steve, how critical is it that we, as true believers, live this in front of them? I mean, is that that's applicable too, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's very applicable, and we need to show the evidence of brotherly kindness and love where we can be impatient with that family member who's so late to get to the party.
Yes.
I mean, they just can't get their spiritual act together. And we kind of almost at times want to throw our hands up and just, what's wrong with you?
Get frustrated.
Yeah, and get frustrated when in reality the better approach would be to show brotherly kindness and love. Mm-hmm. And that would sweeten the message that we're trying
to see the difference.
They see the difference. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't even see it in ourselves as quickly as they can see it.
That's good.
In us. So, Kent, as always, these verses speak volumes to us about where we are with the Lord. And I trust that you and I can have greater evidence of brotherly kindness and love.
Amen.
I'm sure that's a need in your life as well, because none of us have arrived in this. And so may the Lord use this today to spur you on in your walk with the Lord. And be mindful of those who are around you who are blind and short-sighted. Every blessing to you in the Lord Jesus Christ.